You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
All right, what a joy to be with you. If you have your Bibles, the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, Beams is given out free of charge to over 4,000 missionaries. We have supplied Bibles too. And what a joy. Brother Martin in the Philippines says one of the greatest needs for him and the missionaries is the Bible, the whole Bible. And so we give out hardback Bibles, and our missionaries raise the funds to buy those Bibles. And so that is a blessing. And it's a joy to be here. Appreciate the nice room and the nice meal yesterday and get to meet the missionaries. That's been a joy. And I'm just looking forward to being with you these next few days. I really do appreciate your pastor, Brother Treiber, his wife, and this great church. You know, there are several churches scattered across the land that I call pattern churches that God seems to raise up to really help churches like mine. And to encourage his churches like mine. And you have one of those kind of churches that is really just a solid, great church in so many areas that God has blessed you in to challenge churches like mine to step it up a little bit. And so I just want to say to the members of this church, thank you for your faithfulness here. And if you are a visitor, please come back. Don't hold my preaching against the pastor here. You come back. Brother Treiber is, without a question, one of the greatest preachers in our country today, and God has used him in a mighty way, and in a mighty way, and I mean that with all my heart. What a joy to be here. Philippians chapter 4, y'all start early, started at 10:30, and preacher says, normally y'all get out about 2:30, and so I should be able to get it all in by then, all right? And I think I know about the time you're normally out, so we'll try to stay with your schedule. And if you're there in the book of Philippians, if you don't mind, if you'll stand with me, Philippians chapter number 4, the book of Philippians chapter 4. Again, what a joy to be here. And again, what a great church. And I'm just looking forward to what God has for us. I did not grow up in a Christian home. Nobody in my family went to church. My dad was an alcoholic. And I'm glad he got saved. A man by the name of Carl Hatch led my dad to Christ. And none of us went to church. We weren't Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian. We didn't go to any kind of church. But my second oldest sister got saved first. And then she got me to go to church with her 46 years ago. And I got saved on a Thursday night during a revival meeting. And the Lord changed my life. And I'm just sitting over there just thinking, you know, about God's goodness and grace. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad went to the second grade, could not read or write. And here I am going to preach in a church like this. You know, God is just good, isn't he?
Amen.
I said, God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
And he really is. He really is. Philippians chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, I'm in Mississippi, so I've tried to learn whatever state I am to be content. Now, I love your preacher, but he was hard on us. When he came and preached for us, he made fun of us horribly. And I thought, I mean, you're from California making fun of us? Oh, yeah. And somebody said, why was I born in Mississippi? That's where my mother was. I didn't have any choice. I wanted to be by my mother, all right? And look here, verse 12. "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. How would you have liked to have been the church that supported Paul the Apostle? Look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound, I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to who? To God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to just preach to you for a few minutes on the subject, the missionary in the church. I would love to just outline the book of Philippians for you. We see in chapter 1, we see that Christ is our life. We see in chapter 2 that Christ is our example. We see in chapter 3 that Christ is our object. We see in chapter 4, as we read in verse 13, that God is our strength. And then we see in verse 19 that God is our supply. But here in these few verses, we're going to just look at the missionary and the relationship with the church. Our Father, we love you. We are very humbled to be here. We're very thankful for the privilege to be here. God, we thank you for the members of this church and, God, the testimony of this church around the world. And, God, thank you for the preacher fixing to come in 50 years, he and his wife and their faithfulness, their sacrifice. Lord, all these many years. And God, thank you for this church just setting such a good example and a pattern for so many thousands of churches around the world. But, Father, we need you this morning. And God, I pray for your help. And God, I pray you'll meet with us. We sure do love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. We'll not have the time to give the foundation to the sermon that I would like to. But if you're just jot this down, if you were to go to Acts, you can just write it down, Acts chapter 16. And you can see there that the start of this church, Paul the Apostle, started the church at Philippi. You'll see the first convert there was Lydia, the seller of purple. You'll see there the young lady that was demon-possessed that Paul had cast out the demon spirit of. You'll see there the Philippian jailer getting saved and his family and what began what we would call a tremendous great church there in the book of Acts chapter 16. Paul now is sitting in prison and he is now writing to this church that he had founded, that he had started years earlier. And there's several things that that he tells us here that I want to draw your attention to about the church and the missionary. First of all, I want you to look with me very carefully at verse number 10. Look at it again in verse 11. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And then he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So Paul lets the church know that, you know, he's not really trying to get money so he can live a more, you know, more spectacular life. And he lets them know that, you know, just to be honest with you, you know, I've learned in what server state that I'm in to be content. And so what I see, first of all, is the contentment of the missionary. The contentment of the missionary. The word contentment simply means a state of being satisfied with the current life situation. Let me say it again. Contentment is the state of being satisfied with the current life situation. So Paul said it didn't matter his situation, that he had learned to be content. I don't know how many of you have ever visited the mission field. I've had the privilege to go to several different mission fields. And I remember going to Papua New Guinea. When I got there, I wish I had time to tell you all the story, but When I got there, I was amazed about many things, but I was amazed about the condition that Brother Gray and his wife Mary lived in. And I remember there was in a drought, and it got time for a shower that afternoon. And he says, preacher, here's the shower. It's a little bitty shower. And then he handed me a coffee pot that he had heated up. And he said, here's the water for your shower. And so I really did genuinely thought he was picking, okay? But he wasn't picking. He gave me a coffee pot. And that was the water that when you got into the shower, he said, ain't no water coming out of the shower. And he said, this is your water, and that's what we use for 10 days. Now, I was only there for 10 days, but he lived there. And by the way, he is still there. I believe one of the greatest missionaries in Papua New Guinea for almost 40 years. And but what amazed me was not the coffee pot, you know, and the water, and that's what they was using to bathe, but it was their spirit. It was the contentment in which they were living. And I have to make a confession. I'm a shower freak. Can I get a witness there? I'm just telling you, man, you know, if I can get three in a day, I am happy. I like it, all right? But could I be satisfied in that kind of condition? Could I be content? Let me just say, we expect missionaries to be content wherever they are, okay? And oftentimes I find missionaries who are very content in their situation. And you have to ask, what makes the missionary contented in so many different situations when it comes to their living? My friend, it's not their location, it is the relationship that they have with Jesus Christ. May I say to all of us this morning, there is no contentment without the Savior. May I say there is no contentment without salvation. Go to John chapter number 4. It doesn't matter how big your house is, how much money you make, and what kind of car you drive, you will never learn contentment until you have the right relationship with Jesus Christ. You will not find contentment in religion. You don't find contentment in a denomination. We can only get contentment through Jesus Christ. Look in John chapter number 4 quickly this morning. In the Gospel of John chapter number 4. And look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. In other words, Jesus does satisfy. There's a book in your Bible called the Book of Ecclesiastes. And one of the key words in the Book of Ecclesiastes is this statement over and over and over. Solomon says, all is vanity. The word vanity means that things lack the substance to satisfy. And Solomon was a man who had it all, did it all, been there, done that. But my friend, he at the end of it all, he said, none of it satisfies. Why? Because there's nothing in this world will ever satisfy. Satisfied. You'll never be satisfied until you know Jesus Christ. The missionary, I find he's contented. Why? Because of his relationship with Christ. Our contentment doesn't come in our location, but it comes in our relationship. No contentment without the Savior. No contentment without salvation. Hey, no contentment without a surrendered life. You know, the missionaries are surrendered, and God calls them in all different places in the world, and some of them uses a coffee pot for a shower, and some of them lives in a little hut. But my friend, they have more contentment than the average person today living in a $1 million home. Why? Because contentment is in Christ. No contentment without serving others. Did you get that? And so first of all, I see the contentment. The missionary Mark Holmes is out of our church in Africa, has started 50 churches there. And my wife and I several years ago went to visit. I'll go again next year, the Lord will. And what was amazing in that trip, my wife got tremendously sick. I mean, really sick. And he said, now don't drink the water, don't drink the water. And she didn't drink the water, but she brushed her teeth with the water. And boy, she got sick. And so they have a power for about 3-4 hours out of 24 hours. And so about 2 o'clock in the morning, the lights would come on. And Sabrina, that's Brother Mark's wife, would jump out. And my wife would get up. They'd go washing clothes and things because you only had a window of power. And oftentimes, Mark would get up through the night and crank up a generator so that my wife and I could have a ceiling fan that would work. Are you still with me? But here they are, contented. Why? Because being in the will of God, doing what God has called them to do. You know, God has a purpose and a plan for every life. And my friend, it may not be God's will for you to be a missionary, but it's God's will for all of us to be saved. It is God's will for all of us to serve the Lord. It is God's will for all of us to have a surrendered life. And my friend, you'll never be contented until you come in that relationship. So first of all, I see the contentment of the missionary. Quickly, I see the afflictions of the missionary. Look at verse number 14. He says, notwithstanding, you have well done, and you did communicate with my what? Help me. Verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my what? With my affliction. That word means a state of pain or distress or grief. So I see the affliction of the missionary. Missionaries, I don't have the time to go to 2 Corinthians 11 and read you many of the afflictions that Paul went through. The word affliction, again, means a state of mind or distress or grief. There's the pain and the distress and the grief of leaving their families to go to a foreign field. There's the pain and distress of the culture that they of change that they have to do with. They're learning the language. I believe it's the Dutch language some of our missionaries are learning. I don't have English nailed down. So God is going to, I'm just pretty certain He's going to keep me in Mississippi. Okay? But I could imagine the stress of grief of trying to learn another language for me, yeah. Of leaving your country. Are you still with me? Yeah. And then you get there, and God has called you, and you say goodbye to your family, and you got to learn the culture and the language and all of this that's taking place. And you get there, and oftentimes the people that you're there to reach at first, many times, they don't even want you there. The missionary I mentioned, Brother John Gray, when he first got to Papua New Guinea, the pastor or the missionary that was there was going to take a furlough, so Brother John was going to fill in. And so Brother John has just gotten there, he and Miss Mary, and so he's only been there for a few months, and he was out just on visit, what you would call visitation. Some guys jumped him and robbed him and beat him up. In that struggle and fight, one of those men literally died later. But in that struggle, they cut John real bad in his eye. He had to fly from Papua New Guinea back as quick as they could get him back here for emergency surgery on his eye. After the surgery, and as he was healing, he went to a conference, and in his heart, talking to about Brother Gray, he sat there on the pew during the conference, and he was angry, and he was becoming very bitter. He said, God, I said goodbye to my family, and God, I had to raise support, and I had to go through all of this, and I get here to try to win these people and tell these people about Jesus, and here they are and beat me up and nearly killed me. I'm not going back. And in that conference, God broke his heart. That missionary came down to an altar and said, oh, God, I'm sorry. And he went back to Papua New Guinea and is still there today building a great work for the Lord. But I understand this morning, it's not just missionaries have afflictions, you have afflictions too. Some of you are Sunday school teachers, and some of you are in the choir, and some of you maybe you're on staff. And let me say something about all of us here today, we all have afflictions. But you know, sometimes we expect the missionary, you know, to go through the pain and the grief and the distress. But you and I, we need to go on for God through our pain and distress. We don't need to quit church and give up our class and get out of the choir because we're having our time. Let me tell you something we all have in common this morning. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and what? Full of troubles. We all have them. But can I encourage you this morning, in spite of your afflictions and in spite of your griefs and your problems, can I encourage you, continue on for the Lord. May I say, exactly, I see the contentment of the missionary. Then I see the afflictions. May I say quickly, I see the affection of the missionary. Go to Philippians chapter 1, back up quickly. The book of Philippians chapter 1. While you're going there, I'm going to go to the book of Exodus. I want you to go to Philippians chapter. Are y'all still with me this morning? Look with me at the book of Philippians chapter number 1. Look with me at verse 7. Paul says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you, what does it say? In my heart. I have you in my heart. Paul loved this church. And this church loved Paul. There needs to be a sweetness of a relationship between the church and the missionary. We need to love missionaries. And missionaries need to love the church. And missionaries need to love their sending church and their supporting churches. Are y'all still with me? My mother passed away last year, and she was a member of our church for the 40 years. 2 months before my mother passed away, my song leader, who was with me for 38 years and led the singing, he passed away. 2 weeks after my song leader was with me for 38 years passed away, his wife, who's my sister, 2 weeks later, she passed away. So I had three close family members that were with me, very involved. My sister was one of the greatest soul winners in our church. My song leader, which was my brother-in-law, faithful, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, never starting late. I mean, just right there, went to the prison with me for nearly 25 years. Every Sunday morning before church, we'd go there and preach and then come back for Sunday school and church. I want to be careful, but I didn't have a whole lot of missionaries reach out to me and say, you know, praying for you, Brother Carr. But I did have a missionary that flew almost halfway around the world to be there at my mom's funeral. Did I expect every missionary to do that? Absolutely not. They could not do that. But missionaries, we must remember, the churches that support you, they have problems too. They have heartaches too. And it'd be good every now and then our missionary writes the pastor and says, hey, preacher, I'm praying for you. And there needs to be that sweet fellowship between the missionary and the pastor. We have no idea the load that this man carries. Are you listening to me? And so, yes, we love y'all. We want to encourage y'all. We know that you have difficulties. But as a pastor for 40 years, I have difficulties too. I have heartaches too. I weep too, and I hurt too. And so there needs to be that sweet fellowship between the missionary and the church. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 28, watch this. I love this. In the book of Exodus, in chapter number 28, listen to this. In Exodus chapter, let me throw this in quickly. I'm just going to throw this in for the side. But it says, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. When Aaron would go in before the Lord, he'd had those 12 stones there with the different, the 12 tribes written there on those precious stones. And he bore them on his heart. Can I say to this great church here, hey, that your pastor has you on his heart day and night. That your pastor loves you. I text my son right before 11 o'clock. We're 2 hours behind. So I text him and said, you tell the church I love them. And I miss them. Man, I love my church. Can I get a witness there? Amen. And I miss my church. One of the ladies said, you go to California all the time. Somebody looking for you out there? I said, ain't nobody wanting me out there. And I said, besides, there's not a church on the planet I'd rather be at than the church I pastor. Amen. Man, I love my church. Amen. And you know what's funny? I think some of them love me. You know, every now and then you ought to tell your preacher you love him and his wife and be an encouragement. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. There's the affection. Paul said, I have you in my heart. He loved that church and that church loved him. And that's the kind of relationship that we need between a missionary and the church. Go back quickly to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Quickly, we see this morning the contentment of the missionary. We see the afflictions of the missionary and then the affection of the missionary. And then we see the purpose of the church and the missionary. Look at Philippians 4:17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit that may abound to your account. This is what it's all about. Paul said, hey, your gift and your support that you gave me, hey, I want fruit to your account. The reason the missionaries go to the mission field, why? Is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's about telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. The purpose of this church is getting the good news out to this community. Why? Because we want people to go to heaven. And the only way to go to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we see the purpose of the church and the missionary. This is why Jesus came. Why? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the purpose behind everything that we do, is to see people come to Christ. Notice very quickly in verse number 18. Watch this. He says, "But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable." What does it say? Well pleasing to God. Paul said about the offering that the church at Philippi gave to him. He said three things about it. He said it was a sweet smell, an odor. Now, I don't know in California, but in Mississippi, we have skunks. Y'all have any skunks out here? Okay, you do. I wasn't for sure. I thought you probably did. But every now and then, you're going down the interstate, and somebody will say, "Roll up the windows, a dead skunk." You ever did that? Man, a skunk stinks.
Yep.
And so, but Paul said about this odor here, this offering, he said, it's an odor of a what? Sweet smell. And then he says, a sacrifice acceptable, watch this, well-pleasing to God. I cannot help but to think as we go through this conference, as people give to missions and give to support this church, that God goes. Pash Road, you don't know where Pash Road is in Gulfport. It don't mean nothing to you. But Pash Road, there was a bakery, and they made bread. Man, sometimes you'd be going down Pash Road, and you go, "Man, that smells good, like an apple pie. Can I get a witness?" And God goes. Paul said that that offering was a odor of a sweet smell, well-pleasing to God. You know, our motive in doing this is not to please the preacher. Our motive in doing this, it is well-pleasing to God. Now, why? Because God wants everybody to know about His Son.
Amen.
And so when we give, it's helping people to know God's Son. And God wants people to know what His Son did for them. And it's well-pleasing to God. Notice quickly, not only this description of this offering, but lastly, look at verse 19. Notice the promise to the church that God gave to those, that church at Philippi. Look at it, verse 19. "But my God shall supply" what? "All your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, I'll make a confession to you. You know, church goes through different struggles and problems, you know, financially. But I've been there 40 years. And I can testify we've never been late on a bill in 40 years.
Amen.
Not one time.
That's right.
Not one time. 40 years. Now, I have prayed more than once when, you know, some guys want to get paid, like called the staff, thinking this is going to be pretty tight. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
But for 40 years,
wow.
God has been faithful.
Amen.
God has met our needs for 40 years. I wish we could just say, "You know what we're going to do? Preacher's going to give me permission to go give me another hour." Now, He's not going to do that, and I know why, and I understand it because I'm a pastor. But I wish I could just take you through the stories of that you wouldn't believe. I'll give you one or two quickly, we'll be finished. So our church is growing. We're in a tough situation here. The land next to us, I'm trying to get the lady to sell. She will not sell. The land north of us is a house. It's in the way. It needs to go. Literally, that house burnt down. I did not burn it down. Just to be clear, I did not do it. And my wife didn't do it. Now, my church would love that. If they heard me, they'd get that, okay? You'd have to know her. But she didn't. She burnt our house down, okay, accidentally. She didn't do it, but the house burnt down. So now I got that little bit. We need that because if we're going to build a new building, because of the city, we've got to have so much parking. But we still have a problem. Miss Head, that was her name, she's got this piece. She's got a trailer on it. She won't sell it. I went to her preacher 4 or 5 times and said, Miss Head, have you changed your mind yet? The last time I went, a man in the church was with me. This was the truth. We stepped up on the porch. The door was open. She said, when I get ready to sell it, I'll call you. I didn't even knock on the door. So he looked at me and I looked at him and said, so we left. So I went to the church. I said, look, we got to have a building. And I said, we're going to have the plans drawn up. So we voted, had the plan. Hey, but we got to have this land. So we had the plans drawn up. The lady called me that did the plans a few months. She got it done. She called. She said, Pastor Carr. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I have your plans ready. I said, great. Wonderful. A few hours later, Miss Head called. Are you still interested in buying that property?
Yeah.
Not a day before, not the day after, the very same day. Yeah, I thought, I should have said, no, I'm not interested. I knew I couldn't do that. So we bought it. Church was growing. Now we got to relocate because we got to buy a house, tear it down, buy a house, tear it down. That ain't good stewardship. So we had to relocate. And so we get out there. To relocate, buy 5 acres. We got a problem. We got to sell where we are. Now, we just built a building. It was only 2 years old. But we're going to sell it. And so the bank is like, yeah, we'll loan you the money, but, you know, there's not a big market for churches. You know, so, you know, how long is it going to take? You're going to buy that property, and then you got to sell, you know, what you have there. So we had several buildings there. So on a Wednesday night, really quickly, I'm finished. On a Wednesday night, we voted to relocate Wednesday night. There's a man in that service, not a member, visiting in the service, was owned a construction company. The next morning, do y'all know what a Waffle House is? Waffle House. Three of you know. Okay, Waffle House. Google it later, okay? Anyway, the next morning they're at the Waffle House, and he and some of his guys and this older guy comes in, this preacher, and they had voted him out of his church because of his age, believe it or not. And he was looking for a place. And this guy said, this construction guy said, his name was John Simmons. He said to Mr. Harper, was his name. He said, Brother Harper, he said, I was at Brother Carr's church last night. They voted to sell their property, and they're going to relocate. He calls me Friday and says, Brother John told me you're going to be relocating, you're going to sell your property. He said, can I come see it? I said, sure. He came and looked at it Saturday. He said, I give you an answer. Monday, he bought it. Y'all are impressed. I said, voted Wednesday, sold by Monday. Didn't even never put a sign out. I said to Brother Harper, I said, we got a problem. He said, what's the problem? I said, you buy our building and move in, we don't have nowhere to go. He said, yeah, that is the problem. I said, could we rent it back from him until we get a building out there? And we rented our own building back from him until we got a building built. Those are two stories. Those are two, just off really the cuff. My God shall supply all you need. A church is wise that invests in missions. There's a promise to that church. And I believe there's a promise to the individual that gives. I hate to tell you, a lady in my church, they're struggling. Things just falling apart. And I finally asked. We're always helping them. I said, does your husband tithe? And you know what she said? She said, I don't think so. I said, no wonder. You got to start tithing. Amen. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.